I'd like to welcome each and every one here today, our guest visitors alike. Glad you could come out and be with us today. Today was the last early service for the summer, so we'll all be back together next Sunday back here at our 10:30 service. Please invite folks out. Invite folks to come out and hear the gospel. We'd love to have them. So next week, all one service again. Be back together. So we're looking forward to that. Remember our prayer concerns list, if you will. Got a lot of folks on prayer concerns list. Please remember them. Great needs there. Also, if you have a child that is a 7th and 8th grade, you need to come to a confirmation meeting. We're going to have that on the 8th of September, right after service. You can get with me or Teenie if you have a rising 7th grader or above that has not been to confirmation. Let us know. Me or Teenie McCullough, you can ask and tell us. We'll get them on a list. We think we've got everybody that needs to be, but sometimes we miss something or whatever, so if you need to let us know about that. But that meeting will be coming up September the 8th. Jesse's Ride's coming up September 7th. Hopefully you were handed a little sheet. We do need some desserts. Hopefully non-iced desserts, so we can put them in some baggies and have those for people's meals. That's coming up. Please come out, help, and or walk, ride, run. You can ride a pogo stick. You can walk, be pushed in a wheelbarrow. We don't care. We're just trying to help veterans out. We've helped out a lot of veterans over the years, and we're looking forward to helping out more. I have no other way of saying this. There are at least 15 veterans who would have taken their life without the help that Honor One gets from what we've done with Jesse's Ride, and we hope that you will help us to help them. It's a great cause, so be aware of all that. The Oregon Community Senior Citizens, they're going to meet Tuesday, September the 3rd, so not this Tuesday, but the next Thursday, for their regular meeting. OKFC Kids, they're going to meet September 8th, right after church in Fellowship Hall. Working on, again, the new list of confirmation students. Let us know. Children's Choir. If you've got a child in the 2nd to 5th grade, you can let Jana Thomas know. September 15th will be our outdoor service. There's a little bit of a sign up in there. We have a meal and all that with it. Looking forward to that. Now, this is weather permitting now. Remember, weather permitting. If there's a hurricane or something, we're going to be in here. So unless you're just really brave and want to be out there. Bible study with me. My Bible study will start back on September the 16th, 10:30 a.m., 7 p.m. We are still in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be moving through that, and then hopefully eventually we will get to the book of Acts, because you have to take them as a combo. Please, if you have the opportunity, please view and share the videos that we're doing here. This young man has done a lot of work to help evangelize. The sermons are online. You get them. We actually have done a lot of small, short studies, about 5 minutes. Please share them. Put them out there. It's the easiest way you can evangelize. We're doing the work for you, and we're doing explanations, very short. It's good theology. It's solid theology. Help us out. And we're getting around 1,000 views, maybe a little over sometimes a month here, but we can do a lot more than that. And the more views, the more people who share it, the more people who will see it, and hopefully eventually this might be a very, very good thing for our congregation. Is there something maybe we missed? We'll tell you, don't forget your stewardship. A little bit goes a long way. It's in here. You can check it out. Appreciate everybody's response to that. Anything maybe we missed? Oh, work clothes. Work Sunday. Yeah, Labor Day. I wasn't even thinking about that. I'm glad you stayed. Wear your work clothes. Wear your work clothes. I'm wearing mine today. Does that count? So wear your work clothes. Come on out, whatever you do, bring your work clothes, wear them with you. We want to celebrate the labors of this country, all the people that work and make this country so great, and we appreciate everything everybody does. So hopefully you'll do that. Les, at this time, I guess we will begin with our first hymn, which is 533 in your red book.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. We flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Almighty and merciful God grant to you, being penitent, pardon and remission of all of your sins, time for amendment of life, and the grace and comfort of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated if you would. At this time, do we have any children for the children's message today?
Morning. Good morning. How are y'all doing? Good? Okay, good. I want to ask you something. Has anybody ever had an expectation? An expectation is something where you're looking forward to something, maybe, and you want it to be a certain way, like a fun day, maybe, or a trip to the park, or a birthday party, or something like that. Has anybody ever looked forward to something like that? Anybody? Yeah? Yeah. You're really excited about your birthday party, but you want it to be now. Yeah, so that's an expectation. You're looking forward to something. But it was your birthday before? That's good. So what about if you're looking forward to something and then it happens, maybe that day comes, and then it's different than what you wanted? You might be disappointed, right? Well, guess what? Our scriptures for today, they're three different scripture readings, and they all kind of are different, and they seem like they don't go together. But really, one of them talks about how the church and the people around you who have faith in God might look different than what you expected. And then the other one talks about how your life might look different than what you expected. It might be tougher than you wanted it to be. Has anybody ever had a tough time with something? Yeah, it might be tougher than what you wanted. The other one kind of talks about how heaven might look different than what you expected it to be. But guess what? All of those things are talking about how things might be different than what you want them to be. But we don't know everything that God knows, do we? We don't know what God knows, and so we know only one thing about God that we can take comfort in, is that he loves us and he knows what is good, and he is good himself. So, guess what? Even if things look different than what we expected them to be, we can still trust God because he knows more than we do, and he's good. Okay, does that make sense? Can we do that? Can we do that with your life? If something looks different than what you wanted, then have faith in God because he knows everything, and he's good. And so he promises us some good stuff, right? So even when life looks different, or the church looks different, or someday if heaven looks different, we're not going to have a problem with that, I don't think, because it's going to be better than what we could have expected. Okay, so just remember that as you're going into this new year with school started and everything, that if things look different than what you expected, God loves us, and he promises us that things are going to be helpful to us, and he promises us that when stuff is hard, that he's going to help us learn from it, and we're going to do that, okay? Can we do that together? All right. Well, let's pray, and then y'all can get a sucker, maybe. And can you grab the suckers back there? Hopefully. All right, well, let's pray, and then hopefully there'll be a sucker, but sometimes things aren't what we expected, are they? Yeah. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your love and your promises, and we thank you that you know more than we do, so even when things are tough or they don't look the way that we expected them to, that we know that you have good for us in store and that you love us and that you promise us that we will be with you forever. In your name we pray, amen. All right, y'all. I might owe you a sucker then, okay? So try to see me after church, okay? Sorry, y'all. I'll get you some suckers, okay?
The first reading is from the 66th chapter of Isaiah. For I know their works and their thoughts, and the time is coming to gather all nations and tongues. And they shall come and shall see my glory, and I will set a sign among them. And from them I will send survivors to the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, who draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the coastlands far away that have not heard my fame or seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the nations. And they shall bring all your brothers from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and in chariots and in litters, and on mules and on dromedaries, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord, just as the Israelites bring their grain offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord. And some of them also I will take for priests and for Levites, says the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From new moon to new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. Here ends the reading. The second reading is from the 12th chapter of Hebrews. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they cannot endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, But now he has promised, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Here ends the reading.
Let's all stand as we're able for the reading of the Holy Gospel. And now the Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us, then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, excuse me, and all the prophets of the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out, and people will come from the east and the west, from north and south, and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are laid last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated if you would. Excuse me. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Most precious God, we thank you for your words today. Again, we pray that you might open each heart, each mind to you. Give us words to say, and you do with this seed as you see fit. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We are actually going to be in the Hebrews 12 text today, but all these texts are connected. As the vicar said, they are all connected. There is a theme throughout them. And in the Luke text, the gospel text today, Jesus talks about some who think they're going to be in heaven, who think they're going to be in the kingdom of God. And God says, I don't know where you came from. We're going to try to get down to some of what he's saying here in those things. And there are going to be many who think, I should be in the kingdom of God, but yet they are very far away. And we're going to look at that today. Now, in the reading in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer says this, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. He said, you haven't resisted sin as hard as you might have to, not to the point of where you've had to die. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? He's getting to a real great point here. As sons, as children of God. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. This is a blessed blessing here today. This is a wonderful promise of God to us. You see, we don't like to talk about discipline in the church at all. And in this context, this, excuse me, is not talking about God bringing a punishment upon you for some certain reason. Not like a child getting out of line, okay, and we have to discipline the child. That's not the discipline he is talking about here. He is talking about when things come upon you. And generally, and we're going to see an example of that that is part of this reading today, it is we who have brought suffering upon ourselves. He's talking about suffering here. And it's something that we've done. It's our boneheaded move, not God causing it. Now, the other part is when it's unmerited suffering is called radical evil. And if you'd like, we did a blog two blogs on that. Go back and look at them on our Common Sense Theology blog. We talk about radical evil. The shootings that took place a few weeks ago, we did this at least a month or so before those shootings. We'll explain a lot of that to you in a very simple, common sense, in a direct theological way. But we're not talking about unmerited stuff. We're talking about the suffering we bring upon ourselves. Now, suffering this way can actually be a good thing. Now, when something bad happens, though, we need to be disciplined, and we need to learn endurance in suffering. The way he is taking this is, think of a marathon runner. Think of a person who runs marathons, or a great athlete, if you will. A person does not just take up running marathons. Now, I could say, look, guys, I'm going to become a marathon runner. I probably would not get to the font before I fell over trying to run, okay? And we're going to have a nurse up here and get an ambulance and everything else because I'm just out of the shape. You don't start out just running marathons, no. You got to build up to those things. You got to work. And what ends up happening? You suffer through training. Through training. Just like military people, they have to what? Suffer through their training so that they can learn endurance and they can learn other things. Go to professional athletes, football season, right on the cusp of professional football season, college football season, basketball, baseball, all these people, guess what? Great training takes place. And they have to what? Bring their bodies into a certain amount of discipline, and they have to learn endurance through that. You can't play an entire basketball game just like being, you know, starting off. You've got to get in shape because those guys are running up and down the court. I mean, just back and forth. Soccer, you better be in shape to play soccer. Probably the most grueling endurance game that there is soccer. But you have to train and you have to mold your body and you have to discipline it. As a matter of fact, it's gotten to such a science today with this that the Carolina Panthers, our local team here very close, professional football team, the Charlotte Hornets, and you know, I like the Charlotte Knights. We're going to go down Tuesday night and probably see them again. But what do they have? They have trainers and they have nutritionists. And I mean, even their diets are tailored so that their bodies can become endurance machines for their particular position and their particular sport. Even every position now, you got to tailor the diet, tailor the strength workouts and the endurance workouts and all that. You've got to tailor it to even positions when you get to the professional level of sports. This is the same type of thing God is talking about here. Because I can promise you this, and I tell people who come to me for premarital counseling this, yeah, you're young. And yes, there's some wonderful things getting ready to happen in your life, and marriage is a wonderful and a great thing. But I'm going to tell you something. You are going to suffer in your life. And I tell them that out of love because they're going to suffer at some point. Give you a statistic. 1 out of every 1 people will die. They at some point are going to bury a loved one. They are at some point going to, one of the spouses will pass away. They're going to have to bury, they're going to learn suffering. They're going to bury parents. They're going to bury aunts, uncles, cousins, all these people. They're going to have friends who eventually are going to pass away. There may be sickness that they have to deal with, maybe a very difficult sickness. People may, I can't say for every person, but maybe they will go through a cancer scare. Maybe they will have pneumonia. Maybe they have some type of a heart condition, diabetes, you name it. There's all sorts of health issues that they can and probably will face at some point in their life. And you've got to build up an endurance to make it through this. You can't just willy-nilly go about this. You have to build up an endurance, and that only happens through the discipline that God is talking about here, of suffering in small things. Maybe it'll be a financial loss, but you've got to go through the small things, suffer in little things, and continue on up so that you can handle the real heavy stuff when it happens. That's called endurance. That's called building up. And guess what? God loves those who he does this to. He's not doing it personally to you, but he uses it And he can use it to teach you and to help you grow and to become a much more mature person in Jesus Christ. That's the goal. Because if God doesn't discipline you, if God doesn't allow these things into your life at some point, guess what? He doesn't love you. He doesn't care for you. We as parents, many parents here, many grandparents, few great-grandparents, you love your children. You have disciplined your children because you love them, not because you hate them, because you actually love them. You've helped them to learn that there's going to be disappointments in life. Guess what? I am so sick and tired of the helicopter parents running around and the lawnmower bunch. They get everything out of their child's way. They hover over their little angels. Oh, they're just so precious. Yeah, children are precious. But they're kids. Guess what? They're going to face a disappointment. And if you're going to hover over them, you're going to get everything out of the way, guess what's going to happen? First thing's going to happen, well, they didn't make the ball team. Well, we got to get the ball coach fired. It ain't my kid's fault. Guess what? I got cut from teams when I was in high school. My kid got cut, and you know what I told him? I said, I hate to break the news to you, boy. You ain't that good. You ain't good enough. That's why he didn't make it. You know why I didn't make the ball team when I was in high school? Because I wasn't no good. I stunk. That's why your little disappointment's good in life. Some of the most successful people in the world will tell you that the best thing that ever happened to them is they failed. I was talking in the car, my wife and I, to our youngest the other day about disappointment. And guess what? I am glad he's had disappointment. I don't hover over him and move it out of his way. I want him to have it. I'm glad he had it. Am I a masochist for my child? No, I love my child. And I want my child, because I was a boss at one time, a job superintendent, and guess what? I want my child to understand that you got to show up to work, and you got to show up on time. Because you know what we did at my company? If you didn't show up on time after three times, you're fired. Don't worry about getting your tools. Just go stand out in the road, and we'll throw them at you out in the middle of the road. Kids need to be taught that. You know what one of the biggest problems is today? Nobody's taught you got to show up on time and you got to show up and do something while you're there. If you can just show up on time, you're ahead of 95% of the rest of the world right now, and that's sad. They ain't never been disciplined, never been taught nothing, never had a foot taken to the seat of learning there a few times. I'm glad for that. I'm glad for the coach to cut me from the basketball team. Thank God. Because he told me, you ain't good enough. Maybe you need to work harder, you need to find another sport. Now, I was good at getting in people's way, so they put me on the line on the football team. I could get in people's way. I was good at that. But I couldn't play basketball, and I couldn't be a running back or because I was too slow to stop fast. I stung. But I had to learn. I needed that disappointment. We have got to learn this in our lives, and we have got to send it to our posterity. I'm just going to get one more rant out of the way while I'm at it. I'm going to rant a little bit today. As a crazy old man, I've got the right to rant once in a while. I've earned that right. When I take my child to the high school down here, and this one really kills me, we have these people who stand set in the line, and they're letting their little angel out, and they're going to prance up, and they got to get all these. I basically, for Kellen, I slow up, I open the door, and get out of the car. I ain't got time to fool with you, boy. He knows he's got to get out that car because I ain't playing games. Here's the truth. I could get the entire U.S. Army 1st Infantry Division out of the car, into the school, by the time half of them people can get their little angel out of one little car. And then they sit there and they get in my way, and then they got to watch their little angel go in. Fooey. If your little angel can't walk that far, what are they going to do? How are they going to go to the job? How are they going to do other stuff? We got to quit treating people like this. We're killing ourselves and we're killing our society. And I'm going to get even a little more serious about it here in just a couple moments. Endurance and suffering. He gives an example here. That's my rant for the day. He gives us an example of what I've been talking about and what God is talking about right here in this Hebrews text. In verse 15, the writer says this, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. And guess why these things spring up? Because we don't teach kids, and we don't teach each other, and we don't practice in our own lives discipline and endurance through things. He says this, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau. I challenge everybody, go read about Esau later. Who sold his birthright for a single meal. Most of you have heard of Esau. Esau and Jacob, the children of Isaac. Isaac, the son of Abraham. Esau, the firstborn. Now, he was just born a few moments before his brother Jacob was born. But that meant something in that day and that time, and it was more important than what we have in our society. It meant that when Isaac passed away, when Isaac died, the leader of the tribe, the leader of the pack was to be Esau. Yes, Jacob would have an inheritance. Jacob would get things as the second born. But Esau was the man. And what he said would go. He was the leader. Okay? He was the leader of the entire thing. But it had to be passed down from the father to the son. And Esau thought this so little a thing of this birthright. Not looking at the big picture, only looking at the small picture. He thought this is such a small thing that what did he do? He got hungry, and for a meal, I hope it was an awful good meal, he sold his birthright. Now, his brother wasn't much better. Jacob, his name means deceiver. He's a rotten, dirty thief and everything else, crook and all that. But Esau sold his birthright for a small thing. You see, Esau was a person who didn't know endurance, had no discipline. And he lost all of what could have been. You know what it should be? I don't know what it would be called, but the nation of Israel today and the people of Israel, you know what? It should be the Esauites or whatever, the Edomite, whatever you want to call them. That's what it should be. The nation of Israel should be called Edom today. But Esau sold that birthright. He threw it away like it was nothing, like it was trash. Why? Because no discipline, no endurance, no willingness to suffer. You see, he did not understand the principle. Sometimes, in order to have a long-term gain, you must have short-term pain. A lot of people ain't willing to do that. I know people do not want to hear this, but I'm going to say it anyway because I am here to tell hard truths. And this church, and I'm talking the greater church, and even Oregon is part of it. One of the problems we have today is that we are more worried about dealing with a symptom. Just make it better. Just make that little thing go away so I don't have to suffer through it. Get so-and-so out of the way. Oh, get that out of my way, like the little lawnmower parents I was telling you about. They want to deal with symptoms instead of dealing with the actual disease. It's killing Christianity. It is killing our churches. It is destroying us. And it is destroying an entire generation. We are destroying the kingdom of God right in front of our noses because we are more worried about placating people and doing instead of dealing. We deal with the symptoms. We don't want them to fuss. Oh, they might fuss. Oh, my, they might get mad. Oh, they might get mad. And we've got, yeah. That's why, you know why they act like they do at the school system half time? The teacher can't do anything because they're scared to death. They might make somebody mad. Somebody. Going in today, they used to tell them. You used to tell today, the parent would come in and fuss about it. Well, maybe you the problem, Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. Maybe you the problem. Maybe if you was a little bit better, your kid wouldn't be like this. Need to go back a little bit as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, it's hard stuff. But that's because we're more worried about the symptom than we are the actual disease. Just like Esau, we are no different than Esau. I'm going to talk to you just a few months. I'm going a little bit longer than I should. I ain't going to apologize for it. But I am going to tell you this, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. This is a pastor talking to you right now. This is me as a pastor. I love you, and I care for you. But I am going to tell you something. We have got to get away from this in this congregation. And in the church world in general, we got to get away from it. I care for you more than you really know. When I was ordained in a red stole. Do you know why? For the fire. Yeah, the fire. I know the fire and all that. But you know what else? You think I don't care? I took an oath, and I promised I'd die for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what that red stands for. I die for it. And I want to tell you this. I am sick and I am tired. And I'm not, this is not a fuss at you. This is just general. Of charlatans and Machiavellians in the church world who would mislead people, will tell them anything under the sun. And people following them willingly over a cliff. I'm tired of people who only want to deal with symptoms instead of really wanting to get down to the real business at hand. And again, this I'm not striping this church. I'm just telling truths. It's hard. It ain't easy, my friends. It's a tough thing. And the reason I'm telling you is because I love you. And I love you enough to tell you. And I love you enough to tell you this, even if you throw me out here on my head this afternoon. Because I care. And I want to see your children and your grandchildren and you. I want to see you have the life that you really deserve in Jesus Christ. I want to see our nation healed. I want to see our schools turned around so that my child can go and learn. And the other 28 or whatever, 20-some kids in there that want to learn and their parents care. But that because there's one or two that their parents don't care and they've never been taught nothing, that the teacher can't even teach that class and my child miss out on his education. And the other 20-some miss out on theirs so somebody can be that way. Some of you school people that have been in school, teacher school, you ought to be saying amen and swinging from the chandeliers. We've got to turn our society around. We've got to quit playing games, folks. We've got to get serious about this stuff. We cannot just deal with symptoms. Well, make me feel good. Make me feel happy. We got an entire Christian church in the United States. And I want to tell you, I think everybody here, I know people in the Congo. I know people in the Ethiopian churches have spoken to them. And I'm going to tell you what. They're sincere and they want God to move. We're here in the United States. They say, well, if the air conditioning ain't right, well, if the time's just right or this is just right, entertain me, introduce it. It's gotten out of hand. We're a bunch of Esau's running around selling our birthright because we can't see the big picture of what God is trying to do. God has great plans for this place. We just got to get out of our own way. God has great plans for the NALC. We just got to get out of the way. God has great plans for the Christian church in the United States. We just got to get out of the way. And again, I know this has went longer than I intended to. But I think it's something we need to say. Because I want you to have the best life that you can. And I'm going to end right here. In verse 11 of the Hebrews chapter, it says this. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. It ain't fun to go through discipline and to go through these things. It ain't fun. It's not pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. It produces wonderful and great fruit. But we have to understand that there has to be a short-term pain in order to be a long-term gain. And we got to start looking at the long game. The long game. As I promise you, the devil's looking at the long game. And he knows how to play the long game. A lot better than we do. We better start looking at the future of our children, taking it seriously, the future of our congregation, the future of our denomination, the future of this country, the future of this state and county, the future of the high schools and all, the elementary schools and all that in our community. We need to start looking at that and get serious about it. And I pray today that we will stop looking at things like Esau and we'll begin to look at it the way the writer of Hebrews reminds us. Amen. Now let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. And now let us pray for this world and all of God's creation. Precious God, we pray today that you might give us endurance, that you might discipline us as you see fit, that you might help us to become the people that you truly want, that we may not be an entire group of Esau's running around, selling our birthright, not looking at the true picture that lies ahead, only worried about the moment. I pray today, God, that you might take this from us and help us to look towards the future and all the things that you have for us, for they're wonderful and they're great. And we're thankful that you, as your children, see fit to reprove us. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, thank you for the wonderful people of Oregon Lutheran Church. And I pray, God, that they might be enhanced by you, that they might grow in you, and that each day this congregation might grow in spirit and in truth. And Father God, that your spirit might move upon us greatly and mightily, that we might be the disciples and the true servants of you in this hurting community that you've called us to be. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, we pray for those who are sick and hurting among us, those who grieve and those who mourn and those who we name in our hearts right now. Father God, as the great physician in heaven, we place them into your hands and we trust that you will do what only you can. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord's face shine upon you, and God's grace rest with you. And may you begin to see all that God has for you and not just look at ending the symptoms in your way.
Thank you.
go in peace and serve the Lord.